Our reading today comes from John chapter 5, verses 1 to 30. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." And Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because what the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son just as they honour the Father. Whoever does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who has sent me has eternal life, and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And as he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. But I myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." For the word of the Lord, thanks be to God. Have you ever found yourself in a hopeless situation where you just can't seem to find a way out of it? Over the last week and this week, we've looked at a couple of stories about people who are desperate. Last week in John 4, we saw and heard about the royal official and his young son who was near death. He'd heard of Jesus, and in desperation, he came to Jesus to heal his son. And today in John 5, we see Jesus finding a man in a hopeless situation. But this man did not have an awareness of who Jesus is. It is Jesus coming into the situation of this man that actually provides the healing. It's Jesus breaking through and revealing himself to this man. See, for 38 years, this man has been an invalid. The support that would have been present for him early on with his friends and family, hoping that he'd get better soon, has probably dwindled over the years. What went from daily visits and daily check-ins has dropped to weekly, then monthly, and maybe now yearly visits if he's lucky. Because, well, what is there to do but to sit around in silence with one another, hoping beyond hope that as you stare at the water that it will turn and you might be able to help your friend, your family member, get to the water first that they might be healed. Maybe you'll share a bit of what's going on, pray together, and move on. And it becomes awkward and stilted conversations. So what's been happening? Well, you know, not much. I've just been lying here for the past 38 years, hoping that day by day someone will give me some food or some money to buy some food, and just hoping as well, beyond hope, that there might be a miracle that I might get to the water first when it is stirred. But yeah, kind of just been lying here. Oh, okay. Well, did you hear about Ash and his wife and their new baby girl? Did you hear that Mary's been out working in the fields? John's got a new job and, well, Joseph, he's crushing on the new girl. Cool. All right, well, I've got to go. So have fun, take care. Hope you get into the water soon. His man has been in this situation for 38 years, hoping beyond hope that he might be made well. And then Jesus comes along and breaks into this situation. And he asks him the question. Jesus asks the man this question: do you want to get well? Sometimes I think that Jesus asks this question because he's wondering if the man wants to actually be better or if he's comfortable in his sickness and where he's at. Maybe I think this because at times I know for me, this has been my reality. That when I think about seeing God move in my life, sometimes I'm more comfortable with the struggle and the less than that I am familiar with than stepping into the health that God offers. Stepping into the life and wholeness that God offers. And so Jesus asked, do you want to get well? But I don't just think Jesus is asking this as a question of, do you want to be well, sir? Do you actually want to be well, or are you so comfortable in your life? I think Jesus asks this question because he wants to know where the man's beliefs are at. Do you want to get well? Well, sir, yes, I want to get well. But when the waters are stirred in this pool and I've seen people get healed, I can't get there fast enough. I can't do my butt shuffle quick enough to get there before Joe with the limp. And I can't get there fast enough before Mary with her helpers. And so every time these waters are stirred, I can't get there. So, sir, I want to be well, but I have no capacity for it. So Jesus says to this man, even in the unknown of who I am, I want you to know the power of God. That even in the midst of this man not knowing who Jesus is, and we see this later on as well when the Jewish leaders are asking him, why are you carrying your mat? Well, because the man who healed me told me to. Who's this man? I don't know. The unknown of Jesus doesn't prevent him healing in this situation. And in a city that has seen Jesus' miracles already at the previous Passover, it seems strange in a place where there is so many desperate for healing and wholeness that the name and knowledge of Jesus hasn't been shared. And yet, how guilty are we of doing the same thing? For those in our life who are in need, how often do we step away from sharing the hope of God with them? Sharing the hope of Jesus with them, praying for them. And I'll admit, I do that at times too. And so we can't be surprised at the fact that in this place, where there are people desperate for healing, they don't know about Jesus. And it should be an encouragement to us that actually we need to be sharing the hope of Jesus with everyone around us. That when we see people in need, we might share the hope of Jesus to them. Because just because Jesus isn't known in a situation doesn't mean he can't break through. See, healing doesn't depend just on the person needing the healing. It doesn't depend on them believing in Jesus. It's about Jesus breaking through into situations and revealing himself to these people. And for this man, it was what led him to belief in God. That we don't need to have someone believe in Jesus for them to know life in Jesus. We can be praying for our loved ones, for people in our lives to know God's work in them. And that through knowing God's work in them, they might come to relationship with God. It's an encouragement for us. Actually, we can stand in the gap and pray for them. We can bring Jesus to them. We can bring God and ask God to be moving in their life. Jesus finds this man later on. And because of what has happened, he says to him, "See, you are well again. Go and sin no more, or something worse might happen to you." Now, some commentators argue that Jesus is saying that the sickness had been brought on sin. Some are saying that the sin that is happening here is that the man is carrying his mat, and so Jesus is saying, well, drop your mat, go and live in the life in God. But actually, neither of these really are adequate explanations of what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying, you have been given life, so go and live in this life in a way that honours the person who has given it to you. Go and stop sinning. Instead, pursue the life that God is calling you to. Why? Because something worse might happen to you. Because if we don't take the grace that is given to us and live in light of it, then actually it just becomes cheap grace. And cheap grace doesn't save us. Because cheap grace is not actually trusting Jesus. Cheap grace is going, well, God, you're my magic eraser. You're going to rub out all the marks in my life. And so I can do whatever I want, rather than actually choosing to trust you and live as you call me to live. See, cheap grace says, actually, God, I'm still God in my life. You're just going to fix up my mess for me. And so Jesus is saying, don't keep living this way. Instead, pursue God. Don't get stuck in the old habits that you had before you were made whole in me. Go and live life in me, that you might know life now and forever. Because the worst that can happen is actually eternal separation from God. And this is what God is calling us to as well, to choose to step into his way of being. And so Jesus says, go and stop sinning. And the man's response then is to go and find the Jewish leaders who had asked him the question, who made you well? Why are you carrying the mat? And he tells them it was Jesus. Now, we may never know why the man does this. But what we do know is that this sets up a clash between Jesus and the Jewish leaders there as well. See, Jesus is healing and commanding this man on the Sabbath. Jesus is seemingly breaking the Sabbath by doing these things. And the Jewish leaders were very particular about following the laws of God. If we can uphold the law to the nth degree, then we will be worthy and we can be given life in God. And Jesus' response to the leaders sets up an even greater challenge for them. Because Jesus says, yeah, I'm doing these things. And the reason I'm doing these things is because I am God. And God is my Father and I am doing his work in this. There is an equation here that Jesus says, my work is that of God. and I am part of it, and so you can't stop what God is doing. And the Jewish leaders don't like this. And so Jesus goes on, well, I'm only doing what I see my Father doing. And he sets up then this conversation with them. See, because for the Jewish leaders, they'd set all these rules around the Sabbath. And they said, well, here are all the things that we can do. But they'd made clauses so that God wasn't actually kept in these boxes either. That you can't do any work. And that includes carrying your things from one domain, your domain, to another domain. But actually, there's an escape clause because, well, God, everything is his domain, so he's not carrying anything from anywhere. And so he's all right to do that. That God just speaks and things happen, so he's not actually doing work. And so Jesus is saying, well, here it is in this moment that I am actually just doing what God, the Father, is allowed to do. And so I am showing you that I am God within this. And so what does Jesus do? Or what is the Son doing that the Father does? Well, three things for us this morning that Jesus as the Son is doing as God. Firstly, we see that the Father loves the Son and shares what he is doing. And part of that is bringing life. The first thing for us this morning is that Jesus brings life. Just as he brought life to that invalid at the pool lying there, he comes to bring life to all who trust in him. It is his prerogative who he gives it to. He says, I give life to who I am pleased to give it. But I want to extend that offering of life, Jesus says. It is only in Jesus and in God that we have life as it's meant to be. It is only in Jesus and his grace that we are made whole and have healing and redemption. Jesus brings life and he wants to share this hope with the world. He goes on in verses 24 to 26. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly, I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. Believe in Jesus and receive this life. Believe in him and trust in him and know that he has called you to eternal life in him. In this moment, it was an invitation to the Jewish leaders to say, you can accept this life. That you're saying you follow God. Well, here I am saying that God is right here in front of you. You have seen what I am doing. Trust in me. Trust in me as you trust in God, that you might then have life. And it's an invitation for us today as well. Will we accept what Jesus is calling us to? Will we receive his offering of life? Will we continue to live and walk in this? And so Jesus, as the Son, is bringing life. He's bringing life and wholeness and redemption. And in Jesus is judgment and justice. That the Father has given the role for judging to the Son. That in Jesus will be judgment now and in the final days. This, we are told, is for Jesus' honor. That Jesus would be honored above all. That the people who have responded to Jesus will be brought into life on that judgment day. And in Jesus, we also have hope. That in Jesus is judgment, but in Jesus is hope. They go hand in hand. That those who would believe in Jesus will receive eternal life. Those who don't are condemned. Jesus has hope, and he also has justice. We can trust that his judgment is just. Jesus says, I am doing my judgment in a just way. It's not willy-nilly, but it is for the glory of God. It is that I would be glorified in every situation. And so for him, there is hope in this. That we can trust God to be just, but we can trust God to be merciful as well. And the last thing for us this morning about what the Son does that the Father does is that Jesus keeps on working. Jesus hasn't stopped working and he won't stop working. One of the issues for the Jewish leaders was that Jesus was working on the Sabbath. Yeah, he's saying, well, God is allowed to work. God hasn't stopped working. God continues to work and bring life. It's not like he's like, oh, it's the seventh day of the week. Got to rest. No life today. No, God is always at work, always moving. And so Jesus, when he's saying to the Jewish leaders, is you're missing the point of this. That God will always bring life. No matter the day, no matter the time. That we are trusting God to be at work, and he is. God hasn't stopped working, and neither have I, says Jesus. I'm here to bring life and wholeness. I'm here to bring hope and restoration. I'm here to bring my people into eternal joy and eternal life with me. And I'm not going to stop working. I'm not going to stop people being healed. I'm going to call them into life, says Jesus. See, God set up the Sabbath for us to be enjoying him. God knows that as humans, as part of the curse of sin, one of the ways that we find our identity is in our work and ability to do things. And so the Sabbath was set up that we would be reminded of God's goodness and that he is the one who is in control. That it's not about what we do, but about what he has done. And so God doesn't stop working on the Sabbath. He keeps on working. God hasn't stopped working and he won't stop. Jesus hasn't stopped working and he won't stop. The Holy Spirit hasn't stopped working and he won't stop. And I wonder this morning, do we actually believe that? Do we believe that Jesus is still alive and active today? Are we actively living in this? Let me finish with this quote that I came across yesterday. God's power has never abated. His word has never changed. The things he did in Bible days, he still lives to do today. The things he did in Bible days, he still lives to do today. This was a quote by Amy Semple McPherson, who was a revivalist in the 20th century. And so this morning, our response is going to be a time of prayer. And there's going to be a few elements to this prayer as well. But it's going to be a time of us being able to pause and pray for loved ones in our life who need a touch from God, who don't know him, but we are crying out that he might step into it. And it's going to be a chance as well for us to confess our trust in God. The times that we've failed and asking God to continue to help us to do this. So let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God who brings life. That you're a God who is just and merciful. That in you is judgment, but in you is hope and grace. God, we look to you. This morning we come to you, crying out to you as Lord and Saviour. God, we want to trust you and we want to walk in step with you. Because God, we know that you're a God who is still at work today. And so, God, we come to you now, praying for the people in our lives who need a breakthrough of you. And in this moment, I invite you to put your hands in front of you, open in your lap. To say, God, I'm giving you these people. I'm opening up my hands that you would move in their life. And name them. Name them in your heart. Name the people who need a breakthrough. Pray for God to move in them. God, we want you to bring life to these people. God, we want them to know your love and goodness, that they might walk then in you. That just as you heal the invalid by the pool, we ask for your healing to be upon these people. God, we ask you to bring life to them. Holy Spirit, would you move in the lives of each and every person who has been prayed for in this place this morning? Would you break the chains of depression and mental illness? Would you break the chains of sickness and struggle? Would you break the chains of anxiety? God, would you break the chains of unworthiness? That these people who we love and you love would walk in step with you. And God, as you break the chains, may you help us to point them to you. Help us to help them to walk in step with you. To live as you call them to live. To live as you call us to live. And God, we pray for ourselves in this as well. God, for those times where we haven't trusted you, in those times where we've doubted your ability to bring life, in those times where we've said you've stopped working, God, we say sorry. And we come humbly back to you saying, God, we want to know you more. God, we want you to be at work in us. And so, God, in this place this morning, would you be speaking your truth to us? Holy Spirit, would you be moving amongst us? That what you did in Bible days, you would do amongst us today. And through your work, God, you would be known. Through your stirring us, you would be known. And that as we walk with you, God, we would lift high your name in praise. Just get the sense as we sit in this space that Jesus wants to bring life. that there are people in this place who are crying out for a touch of Jesus. So if that's you this morning, would you be so bold as to raise your hands to God? God, we're asking you to move. It is only you that brings life and hope and wholeness. God, you know the situations that are present in the hands that are raised. God, would you bring life to your people? Holy Spirit, would you pour out anew on us? But would you fill afresh to overflowing those who are seeking life this morning? Holy Spirit, pour out on this place. God, move in this place. Stir our hearts to you, we pray, God. Bring your power.